Okay, who's back?
Debbie's back.
Jerry's back. Ben is back.
Okay, we got everybody. Okay, once again, ask that you would give your best audio smiles and open our ears to our brother and elder, Jerry Case.
Well, first of all, I want to greet everyone in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm pleased to be able to be here with you. Thanks for the request for prayers. Actually, I'm sitting in Missouri today. I'm actually sitting in the home of Bill Sheldon, and Ronnie and Julie Sheldon are sitting here with me. So, speakerphone on my little mobile doesn't work all that well, so they can't hear you. So if you have a message for them, you can just tell me and I'll tell them.
Just say hi.
Debbie says hi.
All of us say hi.
Johnny said all
we
of
can
us.
Hear you real good.
I want to talk today about, actually I would call it going home. I think all of us, just the fact that we're here at church, here on this call, kind of testifies that we believe what God taught us about eternal life, and that one day we will be returning to Him if that's our decision. And all of us will return for a judgment day. And I'm not going to talk a lot about the eternal judgment itself. I want to dwell more today on the journey, on getting there. So I would probably title this Going Home. I'm going to start reading in Psalms, and I'm going to start reading with the 63rd chapter of Psalms with the first verse. It says, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary, because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth will praise Thee with joyful lips. When I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches, because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after Thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for the foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by Him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. And I'm going to go back and repeat the first verse. Oh, my God, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And I know as we've talked over the past few weeks, it seems like there's just a lot of trials going on. And actually, we were talking about this at Ronnie's house last night. There's just so many things going on, and that's one of the things that makes the prayer service take so long for us, like when we meet together next week. And there's just so many that we know that need prayers, so many going through hard times. And I guess the thing to harrow up in our hearts to begin with has to do with what is our priority. Where is our heart? Do we literally for God is at the core of all of our desires. Because in the end, it helps balance out some of this. I remember a few years back, there was a time that was really hard for me, and I think it was also a surprise for me. I lost the job that I had, and I think the surprise over it was I really had no idea how strong I really identified with that job. It was really devastating to me. And not just for a little while. I think when I have trouble at work these days, I still, that's the thing that crops up in my heart. Oh boy, here we go again. You know, and it can be a frightening thing. But there are so many trials right now. And I read this verse really to help us to think about and center in on this priority above all priorities, our Heavenly Father. When I think of heaven, I it always brings to my mind that verse that says that, you know, that it's man has not seen and it's not even entered into his heart the things that the Lord has prepared for him. And so I know it's hard for us to really perceive what heaven is, but I actually have a belief that one thing about it is that when we get there, it's all going to seem right. It's all going to feel like a homecoming way beyond any we've ever experienced. Let me turn over now. I think I want to go to actually what's going to be my main text today. And that is the 7th chapter of Moroni. The 7th chapter of Moroni, I'm going to start with the first verse. It says, "And now I, Moroni, write a few of the words of my father Mormon, which he spake concerning faith, hope, and charity. For after this manner did he speak unto the people, as he taught them in the synagogue, which he had built for the place of worship. Now I, Moroni, speak unto you, my beloved brethren, and it is by grace of God, by the grace of God, the Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, that this and his holy will, because of the gifts of his calling unto me, that I am permitted to speak unto you at this time. Wherefore I would speak unto you, that are of the church, that are the peaceful followers of Christ, and that have obtained sufficient hope, by which ye can enter into the rest of the Lord, from this time henceforth, until ye shall rest with him in heaven. And now, my brethren, I judge these things of you because of your peaceful walk with the children of a man. And for I remember the word of God, which saith, by their works ye shall know them. For if their works be good, then they are good also. For behold, God hath said, a man being evil cannot do that which is good. For if he offereth a gift, or prayeth unto God, except he shall do it with real intent, it profiteth him nothing. For behold, it is not counted unto him for righteousness. For behold, if a man being evil giveth a gift, he doeth it grudgingly. Wherefore, it is counted unto him the same as if he had retained the gift. Wherefore he is counted evil before God." And I do want to focus in on one of the words I said there in the fifth verse, where it says, "For behold, God hath said, a man being evil cannot do that which is good. For if he offereth a gift or prayeth unto God, except he shall do it with real intent." And I want to keep reminding us of that real intent. And it all deals with that question, where is your heart really? Do you, thirst for him. Like someone who's thirsty in a dry land. Is at the core of what motivates you. I remember back when I met my wife, I think of some of the, just how it was, and I remember, and also others I've known that fell in love. And, you know, when you're a friend of somebody who falls in love and they fall in love with somebody, they become a little ridiculous. Anything you want to talk about seems to bring up the one they're in love with. It's the core thing on their heart. Everything reminds them of that wonderful person. Everything brings to their mind that other person. And let's think of our Heavenly Father in that vein. Do we truly hunger and thirst after Him? Does everything in our conversation, does everything in, when we're working, when we're at school, whatever we're doing, does it somehow remind us of the Lord? Does it harrow up that love in our hearts and that core priority, which is our Heavenly Father? Let me go on reading. I also want to keep in mind too that there are so many people going through such hard times. And during that hard time, I think sometimes when the path we've been walking, as far as the job we have, as far as relationships we have, you know, when something changes or I know I have a cousin right now that's going through a hard time where he's going to be pretty changed. He lost an arm. Life's going to change quite a bit for him. And how do you find your way from there when that life as you have known it has changed and you're trying to find what to do now? And this is a lot of what this reading is going to dwell with also. So I'm going to repeat verse 7 and then read on. For behold, if a man being evil giveth a gift, he doeth it grudgingly. Wherefore it is counted for him the same as if he had retained the gift. Wherefore he is counted evil before God. And likewise also it is counted evil unto a man if he shall pray and not with real intent of heart. Yea, and it profiteth him nothing, for God receiveth none such. Wherefore a man being evil cannot do that which is good, neither will he give a good gift. For behold, a bitter fountain cannot bring forth good water, neither can a good fountain bring forth bitter water. Wherefore, a man being a servant of the devil cannot follow Christ, and if he follow Christ, he cannot be a servant of the devil. Wherefore, all things which are good cometh of God, and that which is evil cometh of the devil. For the devil is an enemy unto God, and fighteth against him continually, and inviteth and enticeth to sin, and to do that which is evil continually. But behold, that which is of God inviteth and enticeth to do good continually. Wherefore, everything which inviteth and enticeth to do good, and to love God, and to serve Him, is inspired of God. Wherefore, take heed, my brethren, that you do not judge that which is evil to be of God, or that which is good, and of God, to be of the devil. For behold, my brethren, it is given unto you that to judge, that ye may know good from evil. And the way to judge is as plain that ye may know with a perfect knowledge as the daylight is from the dark night. Behold, the Spirit of Christ is given to every man that he may know good from evil. Wherefore, I shew unto you the way to judge. For everything which inviteth to do good and to persuade to believe in Christ is sent forth by the power and gift of Christ. Wherefore ye may know with a perfect knowledge it is of God, but whatsoever thing persuadeth men to do evil and believe not in Christ, and deny him and to serve not God, then he may know with a perfect knowledge that it is of the devil. For after this manner doth the devil work, for he persuadeth no man to do good, no, not one. Neither doth his angels, neither do they which subject themselves unto him. I'm not sure exactly what brought it up. I have a friend who is a nurse in a plant down in Puerto Rico. Been a very good nurse. She takes care of all the people there. And that whole plant is going through a hard time as they're coming very close to closing it. A lot of people are going to lose their jobs. So it's going to be a major change. And she's going through a lot at the same time with some illness in her family and stuff. And so I've been concerned about her, and I contact her pretty frequently to see how she's doing, see how she's standing up. And I'm usually, she and I have known each other for years, so I talk to her very directly. And I think I always hang up the phone very inspired by the answers she gives. And I know it's a work setting, but when I ask her about all the things they're going through, you know, she tells me, you know, how hard it's been, and the fact that it's very hard for her to sleep because she's either at the hospital with family or she's at work. And but one of the things she says is that she knows who her Savior is. And she said, if you believe the prophecies, it's going to be a lot worse in the future. And she said, if we cannot stand up to these things, if we can't get through them, then what chance have we of ever getting through the things that are coming in the future? So she said, you know, God's always fed me. He's always taken care of me. It's not because things aren't hard. It's just that I know that he's there, and he'll get me through it. And when he doesn't, then it's, this life isn't everything. In the end, I'm bound for home anyway. And so, just to keep our minds on the fact that doing his will, obeying his spirit and the way it guides us in life and helps us to find the right things to do, all the detail, you know, helps us to meet the right person in life, helps us to find the right job to sustain us. When that changes, when he sees fit to do a different thing, it's just remembering that he is God. And keeping our loyalty where it belongs, and knowing that just because we're in his hands doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. And a lot of this is hardening and preparing us for even harder things that are to come. And it also tests and bolsters our confidence, because going through the hard times, we can look back and see that he was there and that he was ever true to us, even through the hard times. Where was I reading? What verse was I on?
Jerry, you read through 16. You're ready for 17.
Okay. I'll start again with 17 then. And we're on page 765. Now, my brethren, seeing that ye know the light by which ye may judge, which light is the light of Christ, see that ye do not judge wrongfully. For with that same judgment which ye judge, ye shall also be judged. Therefore, I beseech of you, brethren, that ye should search diligently in the light of Christ, that ye may know good from evil. And if ye will lay hold upon every good thing, and condemn it not, ye certainly will be a child of Christ. And now, my brethren, how is it possible that ye can lay hold on every good thing? And now I come to that faith which I said I would speak. And I will tell you the way whereby ye may lay hold on every good thing. For behold, God knoweth all things, being from everlasting to everlasting. Behold, he sent angels to minister unto the children of men, to make manifest concerning the coming of Christ. And in Christ there shall come every good thing. And God also declared unto the prophets by his own mouth that Christ should come. And behold, there are diverse ways that he did manifest things unto the children of man, which were good. And all things which are good cometh of Christ. Otherwise, men were fallen, and there could no good thing come unto them. Wherefore, by the ministering of angels, and by every word which proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God, men began to exercise faith in Christ. And thus by faith they did lay hold upon every good thing, and thus it was until the coming of Christ. And after that he came, men were also saved by faith on his name, and by faith they become the sons of God. And assuredly as Christ liveth, he spake these words unto our fathers, saying, Whatsoever thing ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is good, in faith believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be done unto you. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, hath miracle ceased? Because that Christ hath ascended into heaven, and hath sat down on the right hand of God, to claim of the Father his rights of mercy, which he hath upon the children of men. For he hath answered the ends of the law, and he claimeth all those that have faith in him. They that have faith in him will cleave unto every good thing. Wherefore, he advocateth the cause of the children of men, and he dwelleth eternally in the heaven. And because he hath done this, my beloved brethren, hath miracle ceased? Behold, I say unto you, nay, neither hath angels ceased to minister unto the children of men. And I think sometimes it's important to be reminded that angels still minister to men. That God still performs miracles. And I remember while my cousin was so sick, and I know he's still sick now, but there was a time it was grave, and we prayed for him. I knew that what we prayed for was not minor. And that the course that he was on was going to kill him unless God stepped in and performed an actual miracle. And we need to continue to believe in those miracles, to always remember that God's in charge. This is his world. And let's continually remind ourselves and keep him our master. I'm reminded, I'm going to jump over to a scripture I read a couple weeks ago. This is about page 431 in the Book of Mormon. It's in the 16th book of Alma. And it's, I'm going to start reading with verse 229 on page 430. It says, And now, as I said unto you before, as ye have had so many witnesses, therefore I beseech of you that ye do not procrastinate the day of your repentance unto the end. For after this day of life, which is given us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time, while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness, wherein there can be no labor performed. You cannot say when you are brought to that awful crisis that I will repent, that I will return to my God. Nay, you cannot say this, for that same spirit which doth possess you, that which doth possess your bodies at the time that ye go out of this life, that same spirit will have power to possess your body in that eternal world. And I want to read that last verse again and ponder some of those words. It says, nay, ye cannot say this, for that same spirit which doth possess your bodies at the time that ye go out of this life, that same spirit will have power to possess your body in that eternal world. And I have to ponder on the gravity of what it says there. But by the choices that we make, we are literally choosing the spirit that possesses us. Not just in the eternal world, but right here. We're choosing the light that guides us. We're choosing that spirit that actually possesses us here. While I'm on that thought, I'm going to turn over in Psalms to the 119th. So I'm in Psalms 119, and I'm going to start reading with verse 97. It says, oh, how love I thy law. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hath made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. And the reason I read that is, it's a praise. But it's really recognizing that by those choices we make, God's Spirit guides us. He adds to our understanding. So we really should fear to do wrong. We should fear to step out of that narrow way, to be possessed of behaviors that invite the devil's spirit to possess us and guide us. I'm going back now to the book of Moroni, and I'm going to skip a few verses here. Hard to know where to start. I think I'll start with verse 36 on page 766. And he hath said, repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me, and be baptized in my name, and have faith in me, that ye may be saved. And now, my beloved brethren, if this be the case, that these things are true which I have spoken unto you, and God will shew unto you with power and great glory at the last day, that they are true. And if they are true, hath the day of miracles ceased? Or hath angels ceased to appear unto the children of men? Or hath he withheld the power of the Holy Ghost from them? Or will he so long as time shall last, or the earth shall stand? For there shall be one man upon the face thereof to be saved. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for it is by faith that miracles are wrought, and it is by faith that angels appear and minister unto men. Wherefore, if these things have ceased, woe be unto the children of man, for it is because of unbelief, and all is vain. For no man can be saved according to the words of Christ, save they shall have faith in his name. Wherefore, if these things have ceased, then hath faith ceased also. And awful is the state of man, for they are as though there had been no redemption made. But behold, my beloved brethren, I judge better things of you, for I judge that ye have faith in Christ because of your meekness. For if ye have not faith in him, then ye are not fit to be numbered among the people of the church. And again, my beloved brethren, I would speak unto you concerning hope. How is it that ye can obtain unto faith, so ye shall have hope? And what is it that ye shall hope for? Behold, I say unto you that ye shall have hope through the atonement of Christ and the power of his resurrection, to be raised unto life eternal, and this because of your faith in him according to the promise. Wherefore, if a man have faith, he must needs have hope, for without faith there cannot be any hope. And again, behold, I say unto you, that he cannot have faith and hope, save he shall be meek and lowly of heart. If so, his faith and hope are vain, for none is acceptable before God, save the meek and lowly of heart. So many little jewels through this reading. It's a big deal. It just said that none is acceptable before God, save the meek and lowly of heart. How are we doing? Verse 50. And if a man be meek and lowly of heart, and confesses by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore, he must needs have charity. And charity suffereth long, and is kind, and envieth not, and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing, for charity never faileth. I heard a good sermon, and actually I was like a teenager when I heard it from Brother Albert Layton Floyd. Gave his sermon. What he was emphasizing was the fact that, you know, he said he went through an experiment where he took all these characteristics about suffering long and not being puffed up and seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked and thinketh no evil. And he took all these things and he thought, well, I'm going to spend as many weeks as it takes to do the first one. So he started working on suffering long. And after he felt like he really had that down, and it was like a habit in his life, then he started working on the next thing. But the thing that God educated him on as he went through this work that he was trying to do on himself was he finally realized that's not how it works. You can't just add up these little characteristics. It's about being full of charity. It's about being filled with this charity, which is a gift of love, the gift of God. It's about having a pure love of Christ. And that when you have that, then these things show. But you can't just try to add up the little characteristics to come up with the sum, which is called charity. So it's where is your heart? Do you hunger and you thirst after him? Let me go on from where I was reading. I think I'm going to repeat verse 51 again. And charity suffereth long and is kind and envieth not, is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing, for charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever, and whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified, even as he is pure. Amen. So the only way it ever really explains to get this is by praying for it with all the energy of your heart, and that he bestows it upon you. It's pure love. Turn over to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Just a couple more words to kind of finish up here. I told you the wrong chapter. It's chapter 5. I confused myself. Chapter 5 of Matthew. I'm going to start reading with verse 3. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that do mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And I recall, too, that there was a time when Jesus was on this land visiting with people, and he had taught them, and he performed miracles. This is like in the 9th chapter of 2 Nephi, where it says that the people all knelt, and they prayed for that they desired most, and it was, they prayed for the Holy Spirit. And it says that they were filled with desire. So let me kind of leave you with that. Check your hearts. Are you filled with desire? Do you have this charity, this priority above all, this pure love of Christ? Because it says without it we're nothing. And it also says it's something that he bestowed on all who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's where we want to be if we want to go home one day. So pray for me in this effort. The world's full of distraction, and I don't want to wander off. I want my priority, what I want the most, to be my Heavenly Father and Him eternally. And I do want to be possessed of the Holy Ghost so that I always have His guidance through the times that are good and through the times that are rocky. There's a caution in life, and it's kind of a funny thing We tend to look to God and wonder why. And we seek His guidance when things are hard. And when things are good, we tend to kind of not be reminded the same. We tend to kind of drift away. So let me caution you. And let me admonish you. Keep yourself reminded. Pray all the time. Study. And just do the right thing, because it's literally an invitation for God's Spirit to guide you and to possess you and to lead you to Him. So I'll pray for you, you pray for me, and we'll just continue in this effort so we all can be together with God when we leave this life. And I hope to see you there. Love you.
Thank you, Jerry. You know, one thought that occurred to me while you were preaching was, oftentimes we define ourselves by what we do, but truly the fear of the Lord is not fear of a vengeful God, but a fear we might alter what the course is of what we are. We can define ourselves as Christian by the way we act, not just in word only, then what we are is truly good. Whereas if we do allow those other things to divert us, we are no longer what we want to be. We're something else. Is it possible that Ronnie can say a closing prayer?
Hello to everyone, first off. Anyway,
hey, Ronnie.
Hi.
It's,
hi, Ronnie.
Good to be here, even though I can't see you. But go ahead and say the prayer, and hope to see you all someday in the future. All right, Father in Heaven, thank you for this beautiful day and for this opportunity we have to fellowship with our brothers all across the land. Pray that you be with us and help us to remember our Lord, and help us to desire Him, to love Him with all our hearts. Pray that you would be with us until it's time for us to go. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. We'll see you.
Thank you. Have a great week.
Love you.
Bye-bye.
Our prayers are for you all.